RTE2FM. It is 13 minutes past 11 o'clock. And if there's one thing I like about this show, it's this. F-I-E-N-D-S. Jen's Friends. Just Friends. Jen's Friends, part of the show where we look back on all the best calls and texts of the week. And this week's Jen's Friends are comedian Ed Salmon and and HIV activist and Mr. Gay World runner-up Robbie Lawler. How are you, lads? Great to see you.
You can use that title anytime you want.
Listen, we just need a bit of music in the background.
I know.
And love it. Guys, it's lovely to have you in. Thanks so much for coming in. Well, really appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having us.
I wanted to chat to you about this, right, because on Tuesday listeners were getting in touch about new hobbies, because we discovered that one of the lads from McFly had started doing tapestry to relieve his stress, right? And he does it with, now he does it with his mom, and it's all like a big thing, and he says it's brilliant. Robbie, did you ever take up a hobby as an adult? Like,
yes, so I think everyone had like a COVID project or something.
Definitely.
I was always very musically deficient growing up. My whole family were. We were asked to like hum in the choir growing up. We were that bad. But I always loved the saxophone. Like, it was my favourite instrument of all time. Whether it's blues, whether it's jazz,
wow,
whether it's chill house, I always loved the saxophone. It's what I listened to all the time. So my boyfriend at the start of the pandemic was like, I'm going to buy you a saxophone to learn, right?
Oh,
I was like, this is a great idea. So I was learning to read music, I was playing my saxophone, but little did he think in the future was I had to play around 1 to 2 hours every day of the saxophone. Yeah. The neighbours hated me, all my housemates hated me, like literally, and I wouldn't stop. I was so committed. And the one song I played on repeat was, you know, Beauty and the Beast, because it was the easiest. So
oh, wow.
I had that. No, I could play that with my eyes closed. I just know every
tale,
like,
the
muscle
memory's
crazy. You tell us all the time, exactly. But then COVID ended, and then my saxophone dreams ended.
Because it's one of those things, unfortunately for the saxophone, if it's played well, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if it's played badly, it's one of the worst sounds in the world.
It's just a really loud horn. Really
it's
bad.
A really loud
just
horn.
Next to the fiddle of the violin.
That's exactly right.
Like a,
exactly
a
right.
A cat is playing it with a cat.
So you gave it up, Robbie.
Do you know what? I'm just finishing my PhD now. I think after my PhD, when I'm less crazy, I'm going to go back to it and just do my... It's my dream to be on stage somewhere and just kill it on the saxophone just once, and then I'll give it up again.
And then it's done. Ed, you have about 7 hobbies, and you must be under a huge amount of stress. Give us a list there of
the
hobbies.
Well, during COVID, my hobby was tasting sourdough bread that my wife was baking.
Great hobby.
And various kombuchas.
That is a good
not great hobby.
No.
Yeah, not the greatest hobby, although her kombuchas are quite nice. Yeah, I like gardening.
Yeah.
I play instruments as well, badly.
Like which ones?
Well, I got a bass guitar that I hadn't really ever used that much. And then I just started doing YouTube tutorials. And then getting sick of the YouTube teacher and just switching teachers. And feeling guilty about it, even though it's YouTube. But yeah, crocheting. Yes, I found out.
No way.
No, that's a lie.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I don't get... tapestry is such a... Like, is McFly... Did he find out he was a monk in the 12th century?
His name is not McFly.
Is it not Johnny McFly? Is he not
Harry.
Related to Marty McFly?
Harry from McFly.
Of the Back to the Future McFly.
Exactly. He said it was just because it was mindful. He was like, he was off his phone and all that kind of stuff.
I did
can't do anything else.
I did have a tomato, if you will, harvest there yesterday.
Brilliant.
14.
Got a polytunnel going?
No, I've got a little greenhouse that's barely staying on the ground. I have it like tied to the fence.
Lovely.
But I think I'm going to go full. I'm going to get a proper glass greenhouse in.
Wow.
That's brilliant. That's a commitment to the bit, to be fair.
So I have aubergines, peppers, tomatoes, strawberries.
That's a proper
carrots,
hobby,
leeks.
Isn't it?
A hobby.
Like, that's a proper.
And lots of insects.
Did I hear that you have? You like to say that you're into gaming.
Oh yeah,
as a hobby.
I love gaming as a hobby. It's kind of hard to do it now because I have
down with the kids.
I have a toddler, but I used to love. I was kind of addicted to the Nintendo Wii Mario Kart, and
oh, yeah.
I love playing against like other dads and children. I love to humiliate children.
Loves to humiliate kids.
And fathers online with my skill of racing as an Italian plumber. That was
like Princess Peach.
Yes, exactly. My brother was like, he used to play Call of Duty, and it was the reason you know he was playing was because he was just screaming at Americans over the headset thing. Yeah. That like just rampant abuse of American kids and across the way. The other thing we wanted to talk about with you was, we were talking about this yesterday, because people were texting in about friendships that cross the age gap, right? Ed, when did you realise, not to upset you now, but when did you realise that you were very much older than most of your friends?
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Because you don't think you're an old person.
Yeah. Creeps up on you. Just
when I started doing comedy about 16 years ago, and I'd make friends with various people.
Yeah.
Kevin McGarren is a good friend of mine. I was at his first ever gig and was chatting to him and like, hey, you're funny. That's how I used to talk back then. And he was like, oh, sure I am. Because he's from Cavan. And occasionally he'd reference something like, oh man, I used to dress up as a Ninja Turtle. And, you know, Kurt Cobain's death really affected him. He talks about him all the time. And I was like, I said, maybe I was a little too old for that. And then finally I realized, oh yeah, I'm 10 years older than you. Wait, I'm 15 years older than Andrea. I'm like, all of my friends, I'm the old man. I'm the wise old man.
Is it because you have a weird job, do you think? Like, is it because comedy's a bit, like, we were talking about that when you get into work.
Yeah,
Because of the nature of school and college and stuff, you're generally the same age as most of your friends growing up. And then
spreads. Because they do say comedy's a vocation. So it's like when you see old nuns and young nuns hanging around together.
To hang out together.
They have God in common.
Good for them.
We have, you know, punchlines.
Robbie, what's the story with you? Do you have any friends? Do you have friends from different
generations? I'm friends with Ed now.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
Yes. Ed.
What's that? Let me get my listening horn.
He's a wise old man. I need a lot of help.
Forget
the beard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the beard. You are. You're like,
it's a lot of wisdom.
Sexy Irish Gandalf.
I'm like Santa Claus rebranding as a folk singer.
Exactly. So I have a really great friend called Veda, who is an iconic drag performer in the George. So as an 18-year-old, I went to Veda's show nearly every week. Fast forward a few years, I was around 30, and me and Veda's HIV activism collided.
Brilliant.
And we just instantly became best friends. So they're 50 now, I'm 32. So a bit of the similar age gap we're talking about here, Edwin. And now we're best friends.
Oh, brilliant.
But it filters into our work, because when we talk about HIV, it's very interesting to talk about HIV from someone who's lived through the AIDS crisis.
For sure.
For me, who didn't live through the AIDS crisis. So it was very interesting me going to corporations or schools to talk about that, to kind of give it a different flavour. But also just the wisdom that we pass on to each other, this intergenerational dialogue.
Love
but also
that.
They're just so much fun. If you want to do anything fun, make best friends with a drag queen. That's what they're doing. All the drag queens specifically.
Always rinse your plates before putting them in the dishwasher. That way your dishwasher will live longer. Little nuggets like that I usually get
thank
them.
You, Ed.
I get them from fortune cookies.
I've been doing it wrong the whole time. Thanks, Ed.
Know,
you just
exactly.
changed my life.
You're welcome, young man.
Right, do you
now clean your room?
Do you find, Robbie, that those friendships, like your friendship with Veda, do you find that your friendship with them is different to your other friendships, or like do you feel it's any different, or are you just pals? That's the way it is.
I think so. I think we have more in-depth conversations, actually, to be honest with you. I think there's like no nonsense kind of talk. We call like Veda a momager in my life, like to get shit done. Oh, crap for them, for me, sorry. they're brilliant, honestly. I think we have our deep talks. We have so much fun. We're sharing the wisdom. I think it is more deep, actually. I don't know about you and your friends.
It reminds me of what I had all those years ago. But it keeps. I kind of feel
God,
like
Ed, come on.
I kind of feel like a granddad talking about my grandchildren. They keep me young. The young
we
people.
Do.
You kids, yeah, you keep me young, 100%. Lads, we've loads more to talk about. We're gonna take a quick break and we'll be back straight after these. That's good. You enjoyed that. You see,
that's me. That was me. Plot twist. I brought my sax into the studio.
Absolutely.
Playing along live, and I play my bass.
Ed Salmon and Robbie Lawler join me for Jen's Friends. It is Friday, of course, so it is all we do on the last hour of the show on a Friday. We were talking, lads, during the week about gross travel stories, right? The things that have happened to you when you've been travelling and just will always be a brilliant story to tell, and you're glad that it happened to you for that reason, but that reason only, you know? So, Ed, you have a fear of travelling with your son. So can you tell me what that is?
Well, I have a fear that something awful will happen in his pants. And also, he has travelled to Germany. We just came back from Prague a couple of weeks ago. We intentionally pick trips that are short plane journeys.
And how is he on the... How old is he now, your little fella?
He's two, and 3 months. So he's a pretty good traveller. In fairness, he slept on 50% of the flights that he's been on.
Wow.
But we were on one flight, not the Prague one, the one before that. We went to Berlin. And he was like standing up and being cute.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's cute. And the lady in the seat in front of him, she called the steward down and she asked to be moved.
Oh, no.
And I felt terrible. I was like, I've become that person I hate on airplanes.
Yeah. I'm with the woman.
Brings their...
Yeah. It was like, I'm going to move.
Yeah.
I've
so
really,
to be honest, I'm moving, yeah.
So then I was very aware of
no
him.
No shade, like, but I'm moving.
Like kicking the seat or whatever. And he's great, but he does like to get up and sort of walk up and down the plane doing
his
inspections.
His inspections.
Trying to open the door, trying to smash the windows.
Your own travel trauma, though, involved your dad.
Yes, when I was a child.
So what happened then?
Well, my dad was driving to work or driving somewhere and giving me a lift in his little white van, and he belched. He burped, quite a loud burp, and my mouth was open.
Oh my gosh.
And I sort of swallowed the belch or, you know, tasted it, and I knew it wasn't air because air doesn't normally taste so oniony.
Oh my!
And I immediately felt kind of nauseous, and my dad was like, "Are you all right? What's wrong with you?" And I think I was, you know, when you're a kid and you don't want to. Do I have permission to swallow my dad's belch?
Oh,
and
what is happening?
I didn't say anything, and I felt like nauseous the whole day. It was disgusting.
This is like what Childline was made
for. That was the worst story I've ever heard.
I'm calling them ASAP. That's
so
horrible.
He's gassy. He's coming into the room. I've got to hang up.
He's gassy. That is...
It was almost as disgusting as when I was on a bus.
That's another story.
And I leaned forward and I put my hand on the headrest of the seat in front of me. And someone had like hocked a loogie. It was on my hand, and then I was like, ugh.
"Oh my god!"
Yeah.
No, it's just so, you and transport of any kind. It sounds like
So I'm waiting for the punami that's going to happen on our next trip,
and
away.
It will.
Yeah. It'll probably be me and not him. So,
Robbie, what's your worst travel experience?
Well, to be honest, actually, you brought up a new memory, and this is I repressed it. It was that traumatic. So me and my fella were
in safe space.
No, this is definitely, it's worse than a punami. So possible. No. So me and my fella were in Nice for 2 months, and I had flew home to Dublin for my sister's 30th. Two nights. Went out 30th, partied hard, had a great time.
Yeah.
Next day, ate like a warm chicken salad. It was awful. But anyways, got on a plane. And I was like, I don't feel too well. I was sweating and everything.
Oh,
anyways,
no.
I was reading a magazine. Out of nowhere, I'm like, oh, it's coming.
Oh, God.
And I just went mid-spread on the magazine right in front of me. I went, bleh, projectile vomited everywhere. But the thing was, it hit off the magazine and went right back all over my face and all down me. Right? But now, I was in middle aisle and everywhere was packed, but I was free in the middle aisle, thank God.
Oh, thank
but
God.
I shakily put my hand up, do you know, to the ring for the attendants?
Yeah.
And
they
came over, they literally like recoiled when they saw me. And they kept giving me like bags to puke in. And the whole last hour, I puke. But then there was this queen on the airline who kept coming over and spraying me. Well, I don't know because I obviously smelled. So I waited to be the last person off the airplane because I was like, I don't want anyone to see me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But what I forgot about the Nice flights was you get on the shuttle bus to be brought to the airport. So everyone's just looking at me on the shuttle bus getting on with sick down me.
Oh,
and then I've
gosh.
Never seen passport control that was so long. And people were taking pictures of me. I'll never forget. It was the most awful experience of my life.
You don't want to be the person who's having photos taken.
No.
Of them.
And then I come through, you know, where you come in. Arrivals and my fella had the two dogs because you bring your dogs into airports and fans. Yeah. And he saw me and he was like, "What the hell happened? She was sick all the time." I was like, "Bring me home now." Awful experience.
I was like, going to say, like, kids beyond a certain distance, kids shouldn't be able to travel, but I'd say it's like beyond a certain distance, adults shouldn't be able
hungover
to travel.
Hungover adults shouldn't get home.
Absolutely. Oh so, like, there's, oh my God. And the thought, because literally the reason we were talking about that story was because Air Canada had to apologise to two passengers who wouldn't take their seats because someone had puked all over their
seats. It
seat.
Was me.
Was it you?
Yeah.
This is what's happening. This is the culprit here. Honest to God.
Oh,
lads.
God.
Okay, can we move away from puke for 1 second?
No. As far away as we can.
On Monday, Lottie was here and listeners were getting in touch about their lifetime ambition, right? So again, Ed, as a man who has several stress relief outfits, I nearly said. You have
my disco suits.
Yeah, exactly. You have a rake of ambition. So give us, hit me with a few there.
Well, I'm writing a book at the moment that's sort of half written, although every time I go back to sort of see how good it is, I go, no, that's terrible. And I rewrite it and stuff. So it's kind of like a sort of a comedy memoir, a comedy cancer, COVID baby memoir. That's kind of just more stuff kept happening in my life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's making it longer and longer. But it's just very hard to get the time to finish it, but I want to finish it ASAP.
Okay.
I don't really care if anyone publishes it, but if you do want to publish it, contact me online.
Absolutely.
I'd love to sell out Vicar Street at some stage.
Oh, yeah.
in my career.
Great ambition.
I'm trying to build up towards that. Trying to build my following.
Great ambition.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Edwin Salmon.
Don't worry, I'll give you a chance.
Thank you. I just want as many plugs as possible. I'm like a kitchen sink, and I'd love to write and direct a movie. I've written a short film that I want to. As a sort of a proof of that I can do it.
Yeah.
So it's about hopefully next summer.
Cool.
I'm gearing up to try get funding for it, or just to try get, because I know lots of people who are very talented.
Yeah, for sure.
And would do it if the project is good enough.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can get it to that point.
They're great ambitions. Yeah.
And also, I'd like to go back in time and kill Hitler. I think
wouldn't we all?
The first two are probably more realistic.
A little bit more likely. Yeah, yeah exactly. Robbie, have you got, you strike me as a person that's full of ambition. So do you have loads of ambitions or do you just have one big one?
Oh, I have many. I want to end HIV stigma. Belongs in the past. Get rid of that, right?
Yes.
And new HIV infections, of course, in this country. Cities around the world are doing it. Why isn't Ireland?
Amazing.
Countries are. So, look, I'm just trying to get through the next 2 months. I'm in the write-up of my PhD. And anyone who wants to do a PhD, I'm telling you, don't. If you want a good relationship and good mental health, don't do a PhD. If you want to stay away from academia, good. So I just need to get through that. That's just focus.
Yeah.
If I want to talk a bit real time here, I set up an organisation, Access to Medicines Ireland, because I have friends in Uganda and Zimbabwe who just died because they don't have the medications that we do in Ireland. My research is looking at HIV and hepatitis C treatment activism in Ukraine, where people just died when we had access to medicines. So in the organization, the ambition that I try and do in the global movement of amazing people, and it's a grown global movement, why is it that we have trade frameworks that say my life is inherently more valuable than my brothers and sisters and siblings in different countries around this world?
Absolutely.
There are different frameworks that we can use that are out there, especially where there's public funding into the research and development of drugs.
Yeah.
Companies should not be able to play God about who lives or who dies.
Yeah.
So there are things out there, there's a growing global movement, and there's a big backlash against these trade frameworks that are essentially killing people but making obscene profits. So the movement's there. And it's important to have everyone have their voice in and to kind of keep into what's happening at the moment. We've seen it with COVID. We've seen it with Mpox. We've seen it with AIDS.
Yeah.
We've seen it with cancer. Like, I know a woman in Malawi who had 4 kids and she died of breast cancer. And I left her four kids. While a woman in Ireland who has a certain type of breast cancer who could avail of a drug can get it and survive. Why is that allowed?
Yeah.
You know, so this is a movement that happens. If you want to join Access to Medicines in Ireland, you can. It's just a group of interested people. Please join the movement. We need to make change now.
That is it's a fairly decent ambition, you'd have to say.
Yeah.
It, lads,
yeah.
Now
I feel bad about it. Yeah, I want to make a movie.
Well, I want to see the movie.
You also forgot that you're... other ambition of releasing a saxophone album.
Oh, yeah, I want
to
be
jazz standards.
Yes. Exactly.
On a lighter note.
Play the saxophone with, you know, Lisa Simpson, Bill Clinton,
Leading Guns Murphy, that's how you're going to call me now. Yeah.
That's it. That's the one. Robbie Lawler, Edwin Salmon, thank you for being my friends today. It was an absolute pleasure. Ed, you're going on tour soon.
Yes.
You're starting in Cork. Where can people see you in action?
I am in Cork in Collins on the 13th of October doing my show Edwin Salmon of Knowledge. And
what a title! Amazing.
I know. I held off on the puns and
love
titles.
It.
And I'm in Enniscorthy on the 20th of October.
Brilliant.
In Wexford, I've already done the show once in Galway, and it's 90 minutes long.
Brilliant.
So I might shave it down to 1 hour and 15, or if it's going well, maybe it'll be a 2 hour show.
Bump it up.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you get value for money. All details on my Instagram page, because my website is still under construction.
What's your Instagram? Do it again.
It's at Edwin Salmon, EdwinSammon.
Love it.
I'm playing Kilkenny tonight in the Home Rule.
Oh, wow.
At the Kilkenny Comedy Club, which I think there's 2 tickets left. So get on that quick. It's probably sold out. But I just want to give the Kilkenny Comedy Club a shout out in the Home Rule Club in Kilkenny.
You're a legend. Thank you. We catch Ed all around the country for the next while, and check him out on Instagram as well. Robbie, I meant to say to you, actually, we had Richie Sadler in during the week.
Amazing.
Amazing. His documentary, Let's Talk About Sex, was on last night. Yes,
yeah.
And episode 2 next week, next Thursday, 9:30 p.m. on RTE2. You're in that episode. What can people expect from your chat with Richie next week?
Well, basically, when I was 21, I was diagnosed with HIV, and I didn't know HIV existed in this country, even though there were thousands of people with HIV. I had absolutely no knowledge of anything sexual health-wise. So what Richie is doing for this country and trying to push for change is the most incredible thing. And he is just literally the soundest person.
Oh, lovely.
He gave me a drive, and we're like trauma dumping on each other. He was just so nice. I'm like, can we be best friends? But like, it's just, he's making a sea change moment through this documentary, and the whole team was incredible, I have to say. But during the Q&A session, I was like, I wasn't that like in touch with what I wanted to know at that age.
Yeah.
They're just so great at expressing themselves and their emotions, and Richie's really great at getting it out. So basically, we walk along a canal on a very cold morning, can I just say.
What did you wear?
I wore my favourite jacket now, in fairness, but like, I had like trendy jumpers on underneath it, so I looked a bit bloated. But anyways, it's
not bloated, just 20 jumpers.
Just 20, exactly.
Just
I had a big breakfast.
For clarity,
No, look, it was amazing, and he's amazing. I had a few other scenes that were cut because, you know, that's TV. But if you want me to come into your school or your workplace, just get in touch with Robbie Lawler on Instagram or Twitter.
Brilliant. Lads, it is an absolute pleasure to have you both in. It really is. Thanks so much. I'm sure we'll see you again really soon.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.